Good evening. This is Orson Welles, and this is your radio almanac. Ladies and gentlemen, spring begins when the sun crosses the plane of the Earth's equator. Spring began day before yesterday at 11 minutes to 11. One of our almanac listeners writes in to ask how to boil a cracked egg. Prudence Pratt?
To boil a cracked egg, crack it a little on the other end, and it will boil like a whole egg. If it was already cracked on the other end, stop bothering me. Scramble it.
Professor Frugelheiser?
Scientific information. The shine can be removed from the seat of blue serge trousers by rubbing with a bead of emery vapor. When the trousers appear to be quite light in color, stop rubbing, that's you.
Dr. McIntyre.
Helpful hints for the motorist. Do you know what one bad spark plug can do to your car? It can waste up to 10% of your precious gasoline ration. Stop in and have your spark plugs checked tomorrow at your friendly mobile gas dealer. And welcome, one and all, to the sign of the Flying Red Horse. Tonight and every week at the same time, over the same stations, the makers of Mobil Gas and Mobil Oil bring you Orson Welles. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, Orson Welles
just
leaves for urgent business in New York.
You left for urgent business and got back just in time. Well,
we find him now at the telephone.
Hello, Santa Fe Railroad. This is Orson Welles. Oh, I'm fine, thank you. Now, look, I'm leaving for New York tomorrow. Oh, no, a special car won't be necessary. A couple of adjoining drawing rooms will be quite sufficient. No, I won't need more than 5 or 6 porters. Don't bother putting on a special dining car. I'm sorry I called you on such short notice. Well, it's very sweet of you. Goodbye. Sounds pretty good. Now I'll try it with the receiver up. Hello? Hello, Santa Fe Railroad. What sleeping accommodations can you give me to New York tomorrow? Where? Well, I don't mind, but all those people coming in and out all night. Very uncomfortable in the day coach, you know. All right, I'll take it. Where's my secretary, Miss Grimmett?
Here I am. You're going to stop at some army camps on the way to do your magic show, aren't you, Mr. Wells?
Yes, now let me see the list of things you've packed. Disappearing elephant trick, sawing a woman in half trick, egg trick, my joke book, laughing gas capsules, 2 rabbits. Oh, that reminds me, 2 rabbits. I must get that hat I checked over at the Carlton Hotel.
They won't give it to you. That's Exhibit A in their lawsuit.
Lawsuit? What are they suing me for? When I did my magic show in their ballroom, I only pulled 2 rabbits out of that hat.
Yes, and ever since, the rabbits have been doing the same trick.
Well, get the Hotel Carlton on the phone, please, Miss Grimmett. They can't hold that hat. I need it for my magic show.
Here's your party.
Well, that's remarkable, considering the sound effect man hasn't finished dialing yet. Hello? Hello?
Carlton Hotel, hutch number 7.
Look, hello, Carlton Hotel. I left my hat in your check room.
Oh, there is a hat here. Can you identify it?
What's the number inside the hat?
14.
14? I never heard of a hat size 14.
Oh, the size. I thought you meant the number of rabbits.
Look, I've just got to have that hat. This is Orson Welles.
Oh,
and
Mr. Welles, I'm so glad you called. Isn't it true that rabbits eat nothing but carrots?
That's right.
I told you, you crazy rabbits. Leave go of my leg.
I'll have to get another hat. Now, let me see. I need someone for the trick where I saw a woman in half. Miss Grimmett?
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, no, there's nothing to be afraid of, Miss Grimmett. I've only done the trick wrong twice. Is anybody waiting to see me?
Yes, Francois, the reducing expert.
Frankly, Miss Grimmett, do you think I need a masseur?
Well, he might be able to clear up that border incident.
Border incident? What do you mean?
You know what I mean. Your chest and your stomach are having a boundary dispute.
My chest and my stomach are having a boundary dispute. Mm-hmm. If I'd known that was funny, I would have said the line myself. Get back to your cubbyhole, Miss Grimmett, and send in Francois.
Oh, bonjour, 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 Monsieur Wells. Oh, my, 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 my.
I'm made up for the part, and he's playing.
You have been dissipating.
Dissipating?
Yes, you have circles under your eyes.
I have no circles under my eyes.
Oh, come, 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 Monsieur Wells. From where I'm standing, your nose looks like it is riding a bicycle.
You don't say. Then how do you account for the fact that I've been pestered all day by autograph hounds?
Autograph hound? What breed is that?
An autograph hound is a person who jumps out of an alley, kicks you in the shins, twists your arm, pulls your hair, tears your shirt, and says, up close, you ain't so hot. Okay, let's get started with the reducing treatment. I'll take my shirt off. Here.
Ooh la la, monsieur, what a gorgeous tattoo on your chest.
Well, don't spread it around. Nobody knows I have an intention.
But, monsieur, it's so magnificent. Ooh la 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 la. Hedy Lamarr in Technicolor.
Isn't it pretty? Sometimes I just sit for hours staring at my chest.
But, Mr. Wells...
Some of the people enjoy that. Let them laugh at it. Now, go right ahead.
Thank you. But, monsieur Wells...
Thank you.
Thank you. Since when has...
I get the last lines. I pay the bill.
Mr. Wells, since when has Hedy Lamarr got a dimple on her chin?
Well, that dimple was there before she was. Anyway, it's cute.
Mr. Wells.
Oh, where's my shirt? Miss Grimmett, knock before you come in. You almost embarrassed Hedy Lamarr. Why, she's blushing right down to the dimple on my chest. What is it, Miss Grimmett?
I just wanted to say that Betty Hutton phoned.
Betty Hutton, good.
I think she'll be right over.
Fine, I've just got time for my massage. Come on, Francois, get to work on my back.
Oui, monsieur. When I finish with you, you will...
Ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience, I think you ought to know that the sensation you are now overhearing was caused by Harry Essman, a sound effects man, who ought to be at Earl Carroll. Get back to the script.
Mr. Wells,
this won't be funny now. Slap again.
When I finish with you...
Come on, madam. You've seen a leg before. Back to the script.
When I finish with you, you will be a new man. And whoever you are, it will be an improvement.
Just a moment, please. Can you name one movie star that has a better physique than mine?
Oui, Gary Cooper, Walter Pigeon, Humphrey Bogart, George Raft, Joseph Cotton, Charles Boyer, Ronald Coleman.
Mr. Wells, are you going to let him get away with that?
Wait till he gets to Sidney Greenstreet. What an argument he'll have on his hands. You may go now, Miss Grimmett.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you what?
Thank you, Master.
You may continue, Francois.
Merci.
Look, I'm the boss around here. Merci what?
Merci d'autres.
That's better.
Mr. Wells?
Yes?
Mr. Wells, your guest, Betty Hutton, is here.
Hand me my shirt, Francois. Say, I've got an idea. Wouldn't it be wonderful if I could do my sawing a woman in half trick with Betty Hutton?
I hope she's insured.
Have her come in, Miss Grimmett, and don't tell her I want to use her in my sawing a woman in half routine.
Will you come in, please, Miss Hutton?
Hello, Betty. Hello, Betty.
Hi, Orson. Hello, Hans, Charlie, Jack. Hello, Lud. Hiya, fellas.
Hi, Betty.
Oh, Betty, I see you like men, I gather.
Are you kidding? I like men anybody gathers.
Betty, the reason I asked you over is because I'm very anxious to have you appear with me in my next production.
Ooh, you and me performing together? That'll be solid murder. You know, Orson, since I've been in the movies, I've had a problem. Half of me wants to be a comedian, and half of me wants to be a dramatic actor.
This may be your big opportunity.
Well, what about costumes?
Oh, there's nothing to worry about. Wear a nice pair of shoes. We'll put a ribbon in your hair.
Oh, what about the rest of me?
What about that line?
What'll I have on from my neck to my knee?
Oh, a little creation I kind of bang together myself.
Well, I hope it's a sport outfit, Orson. A suit with box shoulders.
That's close.
Tell me me something about the plot.
Well, it's rather conventional. The first scene, you're on the stage.
And then you come out and see me?
No, I come out and saw you.
Orson! Orson, your grammar.
Well...
You know, we'll have to rehearse a lot because I go to pieces very easily.
I'm counting on that.
I hope you have a good dancing sequence. I can just see myself waltzing with someone when you come over and cut in.
That's the plot, Betty. And by the way, our starting date is March 25th.
Oh, I'm afraid I won't be able to make that. I have another engagement that day, and one can't be in two places at the same time.
After one has appeared with me, one can.
You know, the way you talk, you'd think you were going to saw me in half.
I am.
What?
I mean, well, Betty, now wait a minute. I might as well confess I want to use you in my sawing a woman in
half. Why, you...
Now, Wells, it would be a terrific team. I can see the headlines. Wells works with Hutton, does sensational cutting.
I can see... Didn't know there was a laughing. I can see...
I brought my friend. Wells works with Hutton, does sensational cutting. Fine. Wells works with Hutton. I enjoy saying it. Wells works with Hutton, does sensational...
I can see the headline, too. Wells finishes cutting Hutton. No love, no nothing.
Really, Betty, we'd be great together in my magic show. And just think, after every performance, I'll drive you home.
Oh, no. I don't let anybody drive me home. I found out Lincoln knew what he was talking about.
What do you mean?
Well, you can fool all the boys some of the time, and you can fool some of the boys all the time, but you can't fool all the boys all the way home.
Some truth in that. Betty, we don't only do magic. We do a wonderful love scene together.
Oh, we will?
Yeah, sure. I know what you like. I can read you like a book.
Well, don't skip chapter 15. It's a pip.
The picture is in a romantic setting. I take you in my arms like this. I whisper. I take you in my arms and I whisper. Darling.
Darling.
Coaching from the audience. Look, there's nothing I can do to top this. I think the only thing is for you to go right ahead and sing your song. There's no use staying on the script at all. Folks, Betty Hutton brings us now one of the loveliest ballads in all the world.
I must sit down for a minute. I'm ready to fall in a heap. Willie's been fed, and I've tucked him in bed. Thank goodness the darling's asleep. He's a wonderful boy, and a joy, and a boon. Oh, gee, you should have seen him this afternoon. Bang! Went the bridge lamp down, went the table crash, went the china tray. I said I couldn't help it, my walking horse ran away. Rip, rip, went the curtain, wham, went the window crunch, went the new buffet. And I heard him tell his daddy, my walking horse ran away. Somehow, Indians got into our front room. Our cowboy grabbed his gun and went boom, 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 bam. The mirror looks like I'll soon be gray. But he smiles, and what's the difference? And maybe some Mother's Day. I'll remember when his rocking horse ran away. Got up early this morning, wore a flimsy negligee. Had to hurry to fix the breakfast and get Daddy on his way. Figured I could get the paper so the neighbors wouldn't see. So I sneaked out on the porch, but very, very quietly. Wham! Went the dishpan, then came a holler. Up went the neighbor's shade. It was Mother's little darling out on a commando raid. Came home late from a...
was tired, my shoes were tight. Took off my stockings, dropped my girdle. Got a dress to pull the light. Boy, slipped into my nightgown. Bent his door across the floor. Better have a look at Junior. So I peeked into his door. Clang, 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 went a cowbell, we went a whistle. I nearly had a stroke. It was Mother's precious baby, just having his little joke. Always, just when I'm reading up these full signs, there's G-men, coppers and robbers, and high hole silver. Bam, went the bouquet, food went the food bowl, food went the glass bouquet. Buddy smiled. And what's the difference? And maybe some Mother's Day I'll remember when. Bang went the lamp, down went the table, crash went the tray, rip, rip went the curtain, wham went a window, clang went a bell, wee went a whistle, bam went a pan, slam went a door. I thought of Mother's Day when it's rocking hot.
This is your radio almanac for the third week of March. The war news looks pretty good today, but 2 years ago it wasn't so good. Jap planes were bombing Australia, and in the Philippines, our American forces were presented with an ultimatum demand for unconditional surrender. This offer was ignored by General Jonathan Wainwright 2 years ago today. In his honor, and in tribute to his men, I'm going to read you now Norman Rockson's Ballad of Bataan. History is a branding iron. Burn this day deeply into our memories. Teach us with your fire. Strike us with your iron so that we may never forget. Burn into our minds and hearts the names and deeds of our men and women of Bataan. This is a day we will always remember. This is the day they came out of the east like poisoned arrows and struck. Starting this day, we sing of a new spirit, of new heroism made by our men and women in battle. Across the dangerous seas, we shout, hello! Over the great curve of the earth, we send greetings to you, Douglas MacArthur, tall and calm, with the confidence of cannon. And you, Jonathan Wainwright, warrior, who stood like a rock in Manila Bay. To you, soldiers, living and dead, Americans all, who held out on that island, who fought on the beaches and the stone hills until you were blown out of the sea. Here is your poem. Traveling high and blue over the Pacific, bomb racks fully loaded, business strictly confidential, no advance notice, so sorry. A beautiful morning, too, Sunday. The day of rest, for sleepers, for prayer. Their smiling diplomats in Washington, the dagger behind the smile, the knife hidden in the sleeve to strike. That's how it sounded by air. But they moved on the ground swiftly. No sound effect for that. The reptile moving through his jungle makes no noise. They were as reptiles moving through the Philippine underbrush, with cotton pads around their bodies. Others painted green, hidden in trees, with their green telescopic rifles. As others, the smiling tourist type. The command comes through. Attack Bataan in force. Take Corregidor in a week. Bataan, Corregidor. Admiral Tojo, those are the names that will break your knuckles. Oh, great Mikado, you'll learn to bleed on those names. What were the orders beamed from Tokyo? Wipe out American garrisons. Take Corregidor in a week. Did you say Corregidor? Tell it to General Douglas MacArthur. Tell it to Jonathan Wainwright. Tell it to the Marines. Straight from the foxholes of Bataan, meet the welcoming committee. The population greets you with flowers. Step right this way and get yours. And did you tell it to Captain Wormuth, the one-man army with his Tommy gun? He's scared, too. Listen. I like to get him 100 at a time. Easier than shooting clay pigeons on a string. I met one of them Japs in the dark and left a grenade in his hand. Where do you suppose he is now? maybe you better tell it to that honorable Jap commander who couldn't live in a world full of American courage and fell on his sword like a madman. Yes, and tell it to those 10,000 Yanks, 27,000 Filipino scouts, brown and white. They stand together under the blazing sun and the hot winds. The sun burns them all one color, and their blood is of the same color. And as long as there's enough ground and guns, they'll fight like no other army in the world. And they did. They were rookies, most of them. This is their first war. They crouched at the new noise at first and handled their guns like farmers. But they caught on fast. They knew the land and their footing. They fought stripped to the waist and grinning. This was their corner of the USA. This was Massachusetts and Minnesota. They fought along their main street jungles, house by house, door by door. First, it was easy. There was food and water and fruit. There was plenty of quinine. There was room for retreat and a plan. Slowly, slowly backward into Bataan, into the jungles and hills of Bataan. Hills at their back, then the sea. The bristling final harbor, Corregidor. The heart of this great body, calmly beating. Weeks rolled with a hot blue sky into months. And the dry wind came in from the sea at noon like a blowtorch. And they fought a thousand noons. They fought for every yard of ground, wisely, shrewdly, without fear. Outnumbered 10 to 1, they slugged it out in a slow, bitter retreat of holes, leaving the dead where they fell. Striking out, stabbing in the night. Riding out to meet the Jap tanks with their head-hunting egrets tied to the turrets to guide them. And above, heroic and alone, the last 4 P-40 fighter planes riding out with their grinning pilots with their patched wings and tired motors. Riding out to give them hell. That's fine, baby. Breathe deeply. Have all the horsepower you got. There's a Jap cruiser underneath your wings. And we're going down to say hello. There were others, all brave army doctors who worked with the ground rocking, Dr. Adams and Dr. Schwartz and others, and the women nurses. Fought alongside the men without food or sleep, yes, even with malaria and the quinine gone. Quinine, precious food of the jungle, gone. Malaria striking with its silent terror. They rammed the short finger of Bataan at point-blank range day and night. They pounded the sky like a drum. Hour after hour, day after day, they controlled the sky and the sea, filtered through the lines like locusts. They kept on coming. They took their time. They had plenty of time. And corpses. This was only an island, a target. And there was no road back for Anya. Home was the ground beneath them. Their life was the length of this island. There was still some time left. Time to think of Mary and Pop. And the green lawn ready for mowing. And lakes in the summertime. And love. And how the Brooklyn Dodgers were hitting. Time to sing, isn't it? I don't want to set the world on fire. Just one little flame in Tokyo, isn't it? You listening at home, safe in your chair, surrounded by safety, you do not feel a bullet strike or the sun's whip on your back. How can you know these weeks of battle? How can you feel the bayonet turn in the wound or gangrene eating the bone away? What image describes the grenade exploding in a foxhole of the loneliness of evening? How do we tell the anguish of thirst? How is the leaking blood weighed and described? And at night, even then, peace was absent. The sniper's bullets were everywhere, smokeless and sudden. Artillery made sleep impossible. Hunger stood like a shadow beside each man, dimming their eyes. When the rifle faltered, the hand began to lose its power. Water and fruit were gone. They began slaughtering the horses. The body is only flesh and blood.
Though the spirit is a steel spine, the body can be broken. Hunger and thirst and fever can bring even a giant down.
The enemy broke through, pushing them back to the water. Still they fought along the wild strip of beach, fighting till the waves went over them. Those who had the strength, men and nurses, tried to swim the 3-mile bay to Corregidor, tried to fight the shark-infested waters under the roaming eye of planes. Oh, you flying assassins in your armored sky, look away this time. Do not see them. Does anyone say mercy? Does the new order deal in sentiment? Did the swimmers expect any mercy even in the cool, wonderful water? Does one ask mercy from murderers? There's their kind of mercy. The pure-blooded Aryan kind. They tried to take Corregidor by sea, but the sea was another wall. They tried to take it by air, but the sky held. They took it by the back door of hunger and thirst, the back door of disease. They took it only after the men were stunned by bombardment 10 days and 10 nights, until the island seemed to crack in half, with the ground smashed beneath them and the sun darkened by flames. Our fathers of the living past, these are your sons. Remember them with Bunker Hill and Valley Forge. Tom Paine, Jefferson, Lincoln, your words live again. Our words are poems shining on our bayonets, and our bayonets are fixed. Our first heroes, sleep. Sleep where you fell, in the warm waters of Subic Bay or on the sands of Lingayen Beach, in the gum tree forests of Bataan, in the tall grass, or on the hard road, whether painfully or swiftly taken. You left a message taller than yourself. You have destroyed the lie that free men die easily in our time. Soldier, can you hear the sound of men marching? We are coming back to Bataan. We are marching over land and water to strike with our continent of power and smash them to earth and clear the earth forever of its hate, its killers, once and for all time and forever.
Wells will be back in a moment with some notes from our radio almanac. But right now, it's time for me to say a word about our sponsor's springtime special, Mobile Radiator Flush and Mobile Hydrotone. In the radiator of your car, 6 months' worth of scale and rust has probably formed. Your radiator needs house cleaning because when your radiator tubes get clogged up, your motor overheats. The cylinder block can break. You can waste your gasoline. Now, no one is better equipped to give your radiator finer service than your friendly, conscientious Mobile Gas dealer. Have him flush out radiator scale and rust with Mobile Radiator Flush. Its quick-acting agents loosen scale and grease deposits so they'll drain off easily. Then have a can of Mobile Hydrotone poured in. This neutralizes chemical action, helps prevent corrosion for long months to come. Start your springtime driving with a good, clean radiator. Ask for Mobile Hydrotone and Mobile Radiator Flush at the sign of the Flying Red Horse.
Well, time to say goodnight now, everybody. I want to thank John McIntyre and Lud Gluskin for playing the music so well. Please join us again next week. Until then, my sponsors, the makers of Mobile Gas and Mobile Oil, and all of us in the Mercury Theater, remain as always obediently yours.
The makers of Mobile Gas and Mobile Oil invite you to listen in next week. Same time, same station, we already all know. Mr. Wells' guest is Mary Bowen. Betty Hutton is currently being seen in the Paramount picture, The Miracle of Morgan Street. John McIntyre speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thank you.